Strange.
Happens sometimes. Okay, let's do a little bit of review on some of the sugyas that we've read. The last sugya that we did was Pat Baba Kisnin. We also spoke about briefly in that sugya, the Gemara spoke briefly about Yayin being the equivalent to Pat Baba Kisnin, of course, was introduced in the question of going to Toha Sakuda. The question is, what about Yayin? Is yayin, we said yayin, pot, there's all types of other drinks. However, you should know that wine that you didn't make the bracha on, if you, let's say you hear kiddush, someone else made the kiddush, then already you cannot say that the wine is going to pot for you because that wine is the ikar drink. Obviously, you didn't make that bracha. If you lebaisa tasted the kiddush, and according to some, you had sufficient of the yayin to be at least melol lugmav, to fill up one cheek. So then, even if you didn't actually say the bracha, you could be yotzi with that bracha to pat or other mashkin. If you don't even drink enough to be melol lugmav, that already gets you into problems.
It's better to say a bracha?
Better, probably. It's always, you know, when it comes to brachas, you always have this problem of solving brachot. But that seems to be the da'at of most of the pasuk.
Right.
Then,
if you have the bracha, if you
had
the
another
you heard the
kiddush,
yeah.
And
then had a cake or something for
your... You're talking about in terms of hasava.
Well,
or what?
I'm thinking about, you drank from the kiddush, but you didn't have a shear.
And then afterwards you drank more.
And you drank a Coke.
Well, when did you drink?
What are the variables? If you have to make a separate bracha rishena, because you didn't drink enough wine, so then you're not going to pot to the bracha on morning either. If afterwards you drank enough.
After?
Let's say, b'chatchila you didn't. You made a bracha on Coke. Because you only because somebody else made kiddush. Somebody else made kiddush.
You
go ahead and made a bracha. You did have a little
bit.
Okay. And then you made a bracha on your Coke. And then you end up drinking sufficient to wine to be required yourself in a bracha krona on the wine.
Okay.
There you would really get into a problem, which you have to assume that the bracha achrona at the end would go back on everything that you had had in that case.
Yeah,
I'm guessing also. Yeah, I mean, to make misada sofik to burn a fresh is not the effect.
Prabhupada says that's why they serve potato kugel to kiddush.
That's why?
To say it after brachon.
The potato kugel? Oh, to say it after burn a fresh. Burn a fresh is on the potato kugel. That's very cute. Okay, then the shaila is in a case where you are masiv together, or whatever is considered to be hasava in our terms. We're not really masiv, but we're koveya together for yayin or whatever. And you could be motzi somebody else. We already mentioned there are those who hold you're not going to be yotzi even b'diavad, right? If it isn't that case, like the Magen Avraham says that, the Rav Shulchan Aruch says that, if you're in a situation where you're not supposed to be Efron Mavarach Chavero, you won't be Motzi, the other guy. We spoke about Rabbeinu Elkanan's approach, and it tells us you will not be Yotzi. So as people mistakenly will listen to somebody else's bracha, even though there was no kviyut, Shabbos could be a kviyut on Yayin. It's done. If two people happen to be together, one makes a bracha, I'll listen to your bracha, say Amin. In that case, according to many shitas, you won't even be Yotzi. However, Lamaisa, I mean, even though normally we do Paschim like the Rav Shulchan Aruch, most Piskei Halakas are like that. In this case, the Gra Paschim is like the Shulchan Aruch, and that if both were Mechaven specifically, that they want to make the bracha for the other one, and the other one is Pedapta Mechaven to be Yotze, that bracha, but Yavad, you would be Yotze. And as we mentioned when we were learning the Sugya, when it comes to the bracha achat mi'ein shalosh, the minhag has become that we bedakka do it that way, even in a case where we were not koveya the suda together, And that's because people are mezalzo in Birkat HaMazon, or they don't know the Girsa, in Birkat HaChatmin and Shalosh, or they don't know the Girsa, or they have all these sfeikas that have a shir, didn't have a shir. Because of that, it's become the norm that one person will be mevarach for the others, because of that. Chances are they won't be mevarach at all.
The others.
Others that are there.
But if you have others, then already you have something of a...
But not necessarily. You have people milling around. No. It's not dependent on how many people there are. It's dependent on the kiyut.
In practical terms, how do you know that you've successfully punted someone else for the bracha when you want to say it for them to...
What do you mean, how do you know? Well, I can't know without getting into their heads. How do you know the other person exists?
When you go to say to punch someone else, like, what should you say? You say, I have in mind that this person is also a Yossi. You sort of do a reminder to yourself.
Yeah. Like, for sure. You have to specifically have in mind. But normally, I mean, that's the point. If somebody's making a broch for others, I mean, what's he doing if he's not... I mean, it's not Mamasha Misasik, he's not thinking about anything, he just sort of fell into it. I mean, that's, the case would come up where somebody was punching aloud, let's say, he didn't know somebody else was listening. So over there, in a Fiyami, the person wouldn't be Yotzi because he had no covenant to be Motzi there.
It was possible,
but he wasn't Mechami. I'm saying, but normally, the very fact that I'm saying a bracha for you would imply that I'm being Mechami to be Motzi. I don't need more of the proof than that. Right,
and then for practical purposes, to make sure you do it correctly. I mean, sometimes
you're right, but it's a get of machshavto nikeret mitoch maasav. Generally speaking, if somebody sets out to do something, his maasim or machriz that's what he's doing.
Okay.
It's like the l'shem matzis mitzvah. What else are you doing there?
Right.
This is a mockery to say it every 10 seconds, Okay, it's a good thing to have, obviously a good thing to have in mind more kavana, but it's nikeret mitoch maasecha. The question also is, in the cases where we said you can be mevarech for someone else, which is where you had a asifa, is it better? From the Rambam, it's mashman, it's just rishus. Although the Balei Kabbalah says the Ramah. And then afterwards, the Gra, the Mishabur Paskins this way as well. That once it's possible to be Motzi someone else, as we mentioned, it's also a chiyuv, because Barov Am Hadrat Melech. They bring a raya from the case that we're going to see later on, which is by the Ner Shel Havdolah, where it says Echad Mevarech L'Kulam, and that there's an Inyan of Rov Am, specifically. Some are mechalik between that case, where over there it's more of a Birkat HaShevach, and the creation of light, rather than Birkat HaNani, which is individual and personal. So the bracha on light, even though the maisi is supposed to be nene from the yard before you mevarech, is not really a Birkat HaNani. I mean, obviously every time you turn on the light, it'll make a bracha. Because of that, it may be a unique case and not a model for all of the inyonim of Barovah. That's why there's the machlokas about it. The Bnei Yoshua makes that distinction, because everybody tries to bring a raya from the case that we have later on. Then we had, the other sugya we had was Birkas HaReya, which is a lot of interesting questions, because, I mean, we are surrounded today with smells, right? Nowadays, we have concentrated smells all over the place. I mean, the sugya that the Gemara was talking about, where a smell is embedded in some other matrix, whether that's considered to be, do we do a bracha on that or not? Do we say the bracha of Shemen Arev on a case where other things absorb the smell of the Shemen into the Shemen, gave it their taste. And the Shemen itself doesn't necessarily have such a wonderful smell. And that, of course, would be equivalent to perfume and all the things that are very, very common today. What do we do about it? The way that this sugya ends up is very unclear as to how we're passing regarding this, what's considered to be the Trina story, and at what point is it the real smell, or just a little bit of the smell that got into the Shemen, and what type of matrix are we talking about? Would we call even an alcohol matrix? We'd call that Shemen Arev, if you're talking about a perfume. I mean, so then you have nothing left. This time a Shemen, you could say there's some oily substance that still has the oil, the balsamic oils, whatever was in there, in a perfume. I mean, there's nothing sticky at all. There's like nothing there. In which case, it could be that it's Bechlal doesn't have any mamashut. It's even less than the case in the Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch says, because of the way the sugya ends up, it's better not to smell things like that. Because you end up with a suffix barocha. That's a difficult psak. A lot of the achronim say, look, you know, I mean, it's supposed to be, not be in Mariach and all these things. You can, you know, if you say a barocha, nobody's going to say it's a bad thing to have said Shemin Arev. But Lemais Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, asking that on all of the modern things, particularly things that have gone through some type of chemical work.
Air fresheners,
anything that has an artificial smell. For sure there's no bracha on that. Those are reconstructed molecules. They're not the chashivas of the thing as it's originally constructed.
It's natural. From that.
Two things. First of all, it says, if it's malachuti. It's a manufactured substance. Thank you very much. You printed out the same thing again.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at this one.
Sorry. Just put it on top because it couldn't fit.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I appreciate it very much. So, that's one issue. But then this other question, perfume. There, he says, it goes through distillations. And it goes through chemical work afterwards to make sure what you get is, you know, properly distilled, evenly spread. I mean, it's a whole complex process in which, is there really any oil of the original, you know, actual oils, or is it now like a reach she'ein lo ikar b'chlal? You know, and all that you're left is really highly refined molecules where there's no substance. Remember that the whole problem with reach is that be'etzem, the molecule is invisible. It's not, the only way that we know that the reach is there is because we have receptors that are so insanely sensitive that they can basically pick up a one part per billion molecule and that's what we're smelling. We are normally not koveya brach on something. If a haraya, there's no me'ila on such things. There's nothing there. So we're not going to be koveya brach on nothing. So if there's something around, so you have the pri that you're smelling, you have the eights that you're smelling, the ashan that you're smelling from the eights that had been burnt up and so on. Fine, here, answer to Sergei, he's going to need help out there. So then inokinami, we're koveya brach. This question of how far we want to go, even if the oil has in it the pieces, but the smell has gone into the oil, yeah, even there. But how about if the oil doesn't have the pieces anymore? Well, maybe it absorbed enough to really understand. So there's something to relate to that I could say, this is what I'm smelling. The point over here is, what are you smelling? You're certainly not smelling the alcohol. There's no mamushis at all that's left on your fingers that you could say, here's what I'm smelling. So in such a case, it's similar to a rare she'en lo ikar b'chlal. In which case, it could be indeed it's kedai, and certainly among the Ashkenazim, this has become the minhag, not to be mevarech on all of these types of alcohol-based or artificial, you know, type smells, even though they may have been very, very beautifully arranged for their bouquet and so on and so forth. But they're not here. Once they're not here, once there's no mamashut, you can't say what you're being mevarech on. Right? That seems to be the question, because otherwise, what does the Gemara care? By the way, we had the same question in terms of bad smells. A bad smell, she'en lo ikar, did not have the same din as a bad smell, she'en lo ikar. Right? It's a completely different halacha. We're willing to tolerate bad smells that don't have any ikar, because it's only a smell, and it's not important enough for us to take seriously. So that a person who would have a less sensitive nose, or whose receptors were damaged, could we objectively show him, what do you mean there's a smell here? So you smell it, I don't smell it.
For Havdalah, you shouldn't use a perfume kind of a thing.
Exactly. According to this, as a matter of fact, there were even shilas among the Hungarians. They used to be a minhag, I'm sure you've seen it, to weave out of basket weave and so on, to weave a whole container of psalmim. You've seen those things, right? Where there's no way to get the psalmim out anymore. It's completely woven. So there's a whole shiloh over there. Maybe that's similar to the case of the psalmim that are kvushim in the water, because you no longer see the psalmim. So it's similar.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Which, I mean, lamaisa, you know, a human intestine is out of sight, out of mind, right, in terms of reyach she'en lo ikar. We call it reyach she'en lo ikar. So it would be very much something that the guy is clearly here and he's smelling bad, but nonetheless, it's sort of, you know, covered and he's not here for that, in that sense. Same thing is true Lagavi this, perhaps. So anyway, you could see why it becomes a serious question. Those shimanim that they sell today, a lot of them are real oils. Similar to the Shemana fire, similar when they actually crushed, it's not that it just...
Essential oils.
Yeah, so there, you know, I mean, there you get back to the original Shiloh in the Gemara, or even better, if the oil itself smells, you know. So then we said, okay, Afar Simon, those things, Afar Simon de Bei Rebbe. But you see from the Gemara, the hakpada of the level of the product that has to be left in order for you to make a bracha vada. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says they're so confusing, and maybe it's better not to smell these things. I would say when it comes to our, both, or the tobacco, that's another place where it comes up. Mamish. Right, Rich? They give it out on Shabbos, you know, the tabak.
The
tabak. So, there you're not being mevorach on the smell of the tabak itself. Mm-hmm. They get that smell into the tabak from other things. So mm-hmm. there, everybody says to Kimat, don't make a bracha.
Don't make a bracha.
Snuff, mm-hmm. yeah. Because there's no mamashut at all of the original thing. It just smells.
How about
this? Yellow lemony things, they put a flower, they leave something inside. Is that
but those are artificial, for sure.
Those are totally artificial.
Yeah.
And the smelling sauce that they pass around?
That doesn't smell good. That's just ammonia. It's just to get you out.
Uh-oh.
Hey.
Smelling sauce.
Smelling sauce.
Great idea.
How about in a spray bottle?
That's right.
The beer.
Maybe it would work.
Maybe it would work. Why not?
Definitely try
anything
it. Else. Try anything. Then we had the shiloh of the peirot. According to Tosfos, you only make on the peirot if you're taking these peirot to smell. Not you happen to be going to eat a pri and it smells great, so now you make a broch on the pri. You don't make a broch in that case. As I mentioned, some hold that goes very far. When we say you're taking the pri to smell, it means that's what you're holding the pri for. It's not like you're planning to eat it, but you know what? How about before I eat it, I smell it, and I'll eat it later. Even that wouldn't be considered to be the notin reach from the perot. In other words, it's an interesting question. What broth can you make on a rose? That's an interesting question. Is a rose a bore atse besamim? Because it's part of an ace. Or do we say, as the Ravid suggests, which is fascinating, since people actually include rose in making various concoctions, right? So maybe it's called a fruit. He suggests you say indeed no sein reach of the peirot on a rose, which is very interesting, huh? Actually the correct word is asher natan reach of the peirot.
I never heard that
brok before. Never heard that brok? Never smelled an etrog or habdalah or anything like that? Oh, that's the case in the Gemaras, where you set aside an etrog. Many people do this. They take an etrog,
they
put their clothes into the etrog.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
But sure you do. Well, it's fresh anyway. It's interesting that for the Ashkenazim, it doesn't make much difference, because the Ashkenazim have ended up following the Shalah and the other Shitas among the Achronim, that because, I mean, this classic Ashkenazic, because it's so complicated and people will get mixed up and we're not bekiyim, it's better just to say borei minei tsamim and forget the whole thing. What a difference to go into the Sfardim. They got 50 different kinds of things, you know. And this one you say atzei b'samim, and this one you say yisrei b'samim, and this one you say notin reach tov v'peirot, and here's borei shemen arev. The more brachot on the reach, the better. Yeah, it's sort of all the same thing. Borei minei tsamim. Let's genericize it. Classic song. But anyway, unfortunately, that's the way it's become in the Havdalah ceremonies. Now, doesn't matter. It used to be a beautiful thing. You had both the cloves and the you know, and the etrog was very strongly an Indian of Pri. Then we had the Birkat Ilanot, which of course is very Nogea, so we should review that. If anybody who hasn't done that yet should perhaps do it over Shabbat. You can do it over Shabbat, actually.
What
even though some who say don't do it over Shabbat, maybe you'll come to pick something, but you know, there's always people, as good old Johnny Depp said, always people when you're having a good time, they'll come to take it away. You finally found something to make you happy. But Lamaisa, almost everybody holds, there's no problem. You make the brother on Shabbat. Problem is, since it says Ilanot, some Medayik, Rechidah, Alpikabol, it has to be Bedavka, two Ilanot, at least, in other words, Beribu Ilanot. Then there's a Shaila, what's the Shear of Malav Levin? Some say it has to have a visible flower. No, okay, we can find a lot of beautiful, nice, visible flowers, and still be called Malav Lev. Then, of course, there's the Mishnah Berurah Paskins that you should make sure that it's an edible tree. That you should not make a bracha like that on Stam on the Ilanes Rak.
The tree that's over that courtyard on Beit El? No, the orange
courtyard?
It's
not the courtyard.
On their hill.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just walking by there, it smells good. Should you stop? Because you say a bracha because you see it because it's a smell? And or just
walking? You can't be mechavi to have, if you're just walking by and not being b'chavim, particularly for the hanas, then it's similar to other sugyas like smell of avodas kechavim. It's not considered to be osur because you're just walking by. It's funny. I didn't find anybody discussing those issues particularly, but I would think that that's what it would be nogea. That sugya avodas zara is how to determine. By the way, I personally really believe if you had two trees, you could certainly be mavarach on that orange tree. Because even those who are mavarach on edible trees, it doesn't have to be this particular tree is edible. The mint is edible. It's not, certainly not called an Ilan Sarai, that tree. Yeah, but okay, you want to do it on two, Mela. But I got
to
tell you, that tree is a real taiva to break a bracha on. I mean, it's an amazing tree. Okay, so that's a brief review. Let's get on to our...